Well, we're grateful that you're here today. I'm not going to be able to be with you today in person. Judy and I have been quarantined, but that's the bad news. The good news is we're healthy, wealthy, and I don't know about wise, but we're healthy and wealthy in a lot of ways. But we just wanted to bring you the message. And Phil said that what we could do, because I tried to get a lay speaker to come and fill in, but Phil said, you know what we could do? We can do, you record the message and we'll play it in church. So I hope and pray that you're all doing well. And here we go. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. New Living Translation. Jesus left Tyre and went to Sidon, then back to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Ten Towers. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and the people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man and heal him. Jesus led him to a private place, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears, and spitting onto his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue with spittle. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and commanded, "Be open." Instantly the man could hear perfectly and speak plainly. Jesus told the crowds not to tell anyone, but the more he told them not to, the more they spread the news, for they were completely amazed. Again and again they said, "Everything this man does is wonderful. He even heals those who are deaf and mute." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, it's uncontainable faith. We all have faith, and sometimes it's uncontainable. But you know, there was an old folk saying that said, "Curiosity killed the cat." Now, over the years, those old phrases and proverbs were changed over the years. But the original phrase was, "Care killed the cat." And it comes from an earlier version in the 1500s in which the meaning was sorrow or worry could keep one from doing what needed to be done. The cat who plays with the mouse instead of doing what is needed to be done may lose it, may not have dinner. So the phrase, as you might guess, came across just as opposite of the phrase that we use today. For those needed to work hard and make a living, who needed to get through life's difficulties and sorrows while doing what needed to be done to move forward, the phrase was meant to be a boost into action. Don't tarry. Don't spend time crying over spilt milk, we might say today. Just pick yourself up and move on. There's no time to lose, or you may lose your livelihood or your opportunity to keep things afloat. And don't drown in your sorrows, and don't procrastinate to get it just done. These are all kinds of meanings that the original phrase suggests. But as cultures change, languages change, times change, human natures never change, the phrase is a good example of a move in our culture from a positive view of taking risks to a negative view, or taking risks and then back again. You see, while our grandparents or even our parents may have warned us to be cautious because curiosity killed the cat, today's culture has returned to a more healthy view of risk-taking. In fact, most healthy professionals will tell you that worry and stress can actually kill you. Our new emphasis on healthy living perhaps might bring the original phrase back into view. Care killed the cat. For us human beings living in a hectic 21st century world, and for the church living in a time of status and often fear of our own culture, the original phrase might be a mantra of the 21st century. Care killed the cat. So grab the tiger by the tail and take a chance. Do something fun and new and reach out. Partner up. Take a risk. Try a new approach. For us today, curiosity to us is most of the time seems like a good thing. It drives us forward and keeps us chafing along at a bit to learn and grow and share and to connect with each other. So care for us, on the other hand, while caring is good, Care is, in the sense of worry and anxiety, causes terrible stress. Not only that, worrying and fretting leads into inaction. Worry leads to feeling of uselessness and hopelessness and disillusionment. One situation, one who is caught in the claws of excess worry literally freezes and cannot move forward. It's often a circular funnel of inaction status that paralyzes one from making one's situation better. So how do we become curious? I believe it has a lot to do with faith. Faith propels us into action. Faith causes us to seek out a solution, an assistance, to find hope that things can change for the better. Faith gives us hope when we reach out. Someone will be there on the other side to help and to take our hand. Faith allows us the courage to inquire. Faith causes us to be curious. And while care and worry provoke status and paralysis, faith provokes curiosity, initiative, and a belief in a different future than the situation miring one down at present. The scripture today that we read, today we see Jesus encountering a woman from Tyre. A woman who was Greek. She was Syrian by birth. And the description is vitally important to the story. And after Jesus encountered this woman, the text says he left Tyre, went through Sidon, through the region of the 10 cities, or some translations say Decapolis. There he healed a deaf and mute man. Why are all these descriptions important? None of these are areas of Jewish. Jesus had deliberately entered into pagan territory. These areas are not on his way home. He had consciously made a decision to encounter people who are not Jewish and heal people who are not members of the Jewish community. Not only that, they don't subscribe to the same faith. Greeks were polytheistic. They worshiped multiple gods, and those of the Syrian and other pagan territories of the north. So when Jesus commands the woman for her answer, he's given her a test. And she had come to him begging for him to heal her daughter. And she had not gone to her own gods or her own temple. She came to Jesus. And that's the kind of faith and curiosity that gives her the courage to approach Jesus as a Jewish rabbi, who she had heard of but not seen until now, and to ask him to heal her daughter. Likewise, when Jesus entered into the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities, some people, again, who were not Jewish and had the curiosity and the faith to bring their neighbor to Jesus and beg him to heal him. And again, Jesus heals him. The people are amazed. They could have continued to fret and worry over their condition, but instead, they decided to take a chance, to go out on a limb, if you would, and go outside in your own culture and faith and put their faith in Jesus and the God of the Israelites. You see, every time we pray, we do the same thing. We don't pray because we believe that there is no God or that no one is listening. We pray because we're taking a chance that maybe it might be our last resort, your last chance. But you are praying, talking to God, because you believe that when you are praying, someone out there is hearing you and just may respond. So you see, the most faith that comes many times from those who are entrenched in pain and sickness and worry or strife, because they will take the most risk. They will risk anything to get out of that place of sorrow and into a better place. Even if it means praying to a God, a Jesus, who they have never known or never worshipped, there is always a first time. That's true evangelism. Evangelism is not something that you make a strategy for. It's not complicated marketing scheme. It's not a door-to-door sales pitch. It's not simply a command that you're supposed to obey. Evangelism, true evangelism, is what Jesus shows us in the Scripture. In its healing, the greatest example of conversion, proclamation, recognition, and loyalty to Jesus in all the scriptures are come from him taking time to heal people. Now, notice this. Jesus doesn't first ask them what religion they ascribe to. He doesn't make them become baptized first. He doesn't make them to come to a synagogue with him. He doesn't even talk to them about religion. He recognizes their pain, their desperation, and he recognizes that their approach of him, their curiosity, if you would, and their faith and trust in him, their courage to come to him, despite all the culture differences and their position in life. You see, in a sense, it was their prayer. Now, we are called not to minister to people like us, the people we already know, people that we know that know Jesus. We're called to minister to people who are not like us. That's hard, but that's what we're called to do. We don't know Jesus who are suffering and don't know where to turn. We are called to reclaim that proverb, care killed the cat, and to stop worrying about who comes into our doors or how they come to fill our pews. So when we start trusting Jesus and healing in his name, the people will celebrate and the people will come. Healthy people are trusting people. A healthy church is a church in which faith comes first. That's why I'm so grateful to serve this little church at Bethel. This is a faith-filled little church. Faith, deep faith, the kind of uncontainable faith that comes from the healing and the joy and the assurance of Jesus' presence, will drive us forward and to make us curious and for years and years to come, and give us the strength to give hope to others. So church, increase your faith today. Take risks and stop worrying about the state of the church and start to heal God's people. Be courageous in your faith and joyful in your mission because you are able, and care killed the cat. Well, we hope and pray that you're having a good day. Judy and I were exposed to the COVID, and that's the bad news. The good news is we don't have any problems that we know of, but we had to stay in quarantine for a couple days, and we went and got the Regeneron. But we thank God for Phil and the ability to do these messages online. God loves you, and we love you. Have a wonderful day.